You are listening to Teen Connectivity, a podcast for parents navigating the wilderness of adolescence. You are not alone. It is harder than ever to be a teen and to be the parent of a teen. These conversations are offered to deepen your understanding of the realities of being a teen in the digital age, to give you a few more tools for your parenting toolkit, and to cultivate greater empathy for your teen and for yourself. Put all this together, and it is my hope that your connection with your child will be strengthened and grow, and you will find much joy on this sacred journey. This is episode number 11, Gaming, the Good and the Bad. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Teen Connectivity. Today, I am really excited to have a conversation with Oscar Filson. And I've known Oscar since he was, what, Oscar, maybe 4 years old?
At least,
right?
Long time.
Oh, maybe even longer than that, yeah. I think. Yeah. Well, welcome, and thank you so much for being willing to do this today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So, Oscar, I'm going to have you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, but first I will let people know our topic today. We're talking about gaming, and I know a lot of parents, especially parents with boys, have boys that are really into gaming, electronic gaming, and you're into a thing called esports, which we'll dive into that a little more deeply too. But I do think parents are a little scared by the amount of time their kids spend doing this. So I thought it would be really great to talk to an actual real-life gamer today. So why don't you tell us a little bit about you and how you started gaming?
All right. Well, I'm 18, and I go to Boise State. And I started gaming. I think my dad got me into it because he was a little bit of a gamer. Not as much as I am now, but he messed around a little bit. And we had some games and we would play them together, and eventually I just started playing by myself, and time moved on and you gradually get more serious because you're having more fun, to the point where I am now. So
you'd say fun is a big theme here, right? That's why you do it. It's fun.
I definitely center around fun because that's like the point of it.
So I have girls and they're not into gaming, and I've observed this in life. It seems like this is kind of gender specific. I'm not saying there are never girls that do it, but there seem to be so many more boys into this. Why do you think that is?
I think definitely it's more of a boy thing, although there is like studies and stuff that you can see. I think part of it has to do with competitiveness. A lot of gaming is being competitive with your friends or your people and having fun. And it's not that women can't be. I just don't think they're as driven by it or have as much fun doing it as men. And to counter that a little bit, I know casual gaming, like on your phone and stuff, is definitely much more gender split in that women and men do it. But definitely when you get to the more competitive side, like where I am in esports, there are, I think, 3 women on the Boise State esports team and probably like 30 plus men. So it's not that they don't exist, it's just rare.
And I'm sure anyone listening is going to say, what do you mean by esports? So we are going to go into that. But I was sort of looking at this interview today. I was looking at you as kind of an ambassador to bridge some understanding between parents and kids and to really let us take a look into your world, so create some understanding with adults. And then also for kids and teens to become, I think, more aware and more intentional about their playing, like really understanding the good and the bad sides of it, if that makes sense. But that gender thing has always fascinated me. And what you said about the phones makes a lot of sense. I do see a lot of girls that play what you called casual games on their phones, but the competitive thing. Esports was a totally new term to me until your mom told me you were doing it. You do this at the university level. There's actually like a varsity esports team that you can letter in, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about esports.
Esports is electronic sports, and so it's kind of a subset, and there's a lot of arguments whether it's actually a sport or not, but in the end, it's people playing video games at the highest level. And there's lots of varying degrees. There's people that play for millions of dollars on live TV, like on live settings, and in front of thousands of people. But then there's also like where I'm at, which is the university level, where there's a few people running it and they're doing their best. We have a lot of donors because one of the things about esports is it's predicted to kind of blow up pretty soon. And so a lot of people are trying to get in on the ground floor before that. And basically they have games and teams of those games that people play, and you only play one game, or you can play multiple, but it's very difficult.
You specialize in one esport.
Right. Right. Okay, like okay. You don't see someone who does track also swim very often.
Right.
Is that the kind of thing? Because it takes so much time to put into it that it's very rare. But we'll have teams and we'll practice for a few hours twice a week. And then we have matches that the university set up. And there's a few third-party organizations that work with game developers to run these large collegiate esport leagues.
So you're actually competing with other universities.
Yeah. Yeah. And the most recent one that I was a part of as a sub for the Rocket League team at BSU was with TESPA, and it was called Collegiate Rocket League. And we made the top 8 in our region, which is the Western region. And then there was a playoff, and the top 4 teams in the end all went to Texas to play. And I believe the first place team got $75,000 in scholarships, but I wouldn't quote me on that.
Okay. And you said Rocket League. So this is your sport that you specialize in. So tell us a little bit about Rocket League. What is that?
Rocket League is basically it's just car soccer. You're in cars that can fly and jump and flip, and you're trying to hit a ball into a goal, which is one thing that appeals to me is it's very physics-based. And so there's only so much you can do, and you have to figure out, you have to use what you can. It's like controlling a person and putting a ball into a goal. Like, you can use your teammates, you can do all these tricks, but there's laws of physics.
Sort of like when a person plays pool at a pool table and really understands how to line things up. It's,
yeah.
Okay. And bounce things off of other objects kind of a thing.
Yeah. It's just, I would say it's car soccer. And what you see when you see that, it's more or less that.
Okay, but you just touched on a little science bit of it. We're going to get into more benefits that you see.
Yeah.
But I have a couple questions about how competing works. Do you have like an esports arena? I heard maybe Boise State was even building one. And what does this look like? What is this?
I would hesitate to use the term arena.
Okay.
It's more of like an area with some chairs and a setup and some monitors where people can go and play in front of some of their friends and family, maybe.
So like a big sort of screen, maybe?
Yeah. It's there's one big screen, and then there's a couple. You see each person's screen as they're playing as well. And it's not very large, and it's not, you won't see a lot of people there besides the people that really follow the team. But it's very cool that they have this, and the fact that they could go somewhere from this. Like, playing in the live setting is always beneficial for players to get used to. So.
Okay, and if someone wanted to tune in, like your mom wants to watch you, isn't there their broadcast somehow, right?
Yeah, so there's this app or website called Twitch, and it streams live, or as live, like it's 3 seconds delayed, but it's basically live, and it's all kinds of different esport competitions and just streamers, so that they're playing a game in front of people, which isn't always exciting for a lot of people, but some people find it exciting. And
you mean as an observer, some people find it exciting and others don't?
To watch other people and like see what they say and stuff. And but yeah, Boise State has a Twitch channel, and they stream all of the matches and some other variety things. Like, we had an end of the season party where all the players just got onto 2 different teams and they battled each other in random video games and things they didn't specialize in. It was a lot of fun. So,
see, this is a world that's so foreign to me. So that's why I'm really excited to talk to you about it, because I do think for parents listening who have sons, this is part of their world for most of them. Maybe not at the level you're doing it, but at some level.
Yeah.
So, okay, what are you, do you know what you're majoring in yet?
Yeah, I'm majoring in computer science.
Okay. So does your, the amount of time you've spent gaming, does this play into your computer science major at all?
I wouldn't say directly, but I would say that as someone who plays on a computer, as that is generally like the highest level of gaming that you can get to. It helps to know your way around a computer, and that's definitely going to tie into a major or writing a paper or doing other things. I know there's a lot of people in the esports team that are part of the gaming and interactive media major, which is ties in more closely.
Oh, that's an actual major.
Yeah, it's called GIM, and Boise State has a really good program for it, as far as I know. So
that's great. And mm-hmm. that's part of why you chose to stay in Boise and go to school, is this program was so good that you're in, even.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was going to ask you another question, and it just escaped me here. Maybe I'll move on to my other one. Oh, I know what it was. You okay. mentioned physics earlier. Are you taking physics this semester?
I just finished my physics class.
Yeah. Okay. And you definitely see a connection a little bit between...
There's definitely the laws of physics in the game that I play, as in like gravity and collisions and stuff. But one of the things that makes Rocket League different from other esport games is that it uses physics, and a lot of games just use their own game systems, like upgrades and point and clicks that you can do to get there, which makes it Rocket League a lot more accessible to people who watch sports, in my opinion. Because a lot of times to watch a game, you'd have to understand all the systems and underlying...
like the foundations for how it works,
yeah,
kind of a thing.
Exactly. Yeah, and you don't always see that at the surface level. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that makes Rocket League accessible is that you see what's going on, and you see that they got to get the ball into the goal, and that makes sense on some level.
Yeah, okay. So now we've had this little science connection. Mm-hmm. Here's what I want to know. Just based on some conversations with your mom, I know that you interact with people a lot when you're playing. So I want to know some things you've maybe learned about relationships and people through gaming.
Yeah, it's definitely a huge community out there. There's a large, large gaming community on sites like Reddit and Discord and you can connect with people from around the world. Like, I've made friends with people from the East Coast a lot through this league that I'm in, and we play games together because online, and you can do that now, and it definitely lets you connect with people that you wouldn't earlier connect with. And for a lot of people, I'm sure it's easier to make these connections because you're just talking and you don't have to see them and make conversation.
Because you have a headset on when you're playing somebody?
You can. A lot mm-hmm. of people do. And it's much easier just to talk about what's going on in your game and then maybe like have some fun rather than like try to make small talk with people. And for right. a lot of people, that's a lot easier than interacting.
So I guess the image of somebody just being isolated playing a game is not necessarily true. You are actually creating relationships and building communities through this.
The way that I do it, yeah. I wouldn't say that everybody mm-hmm. gets to this level, but even like among school friends that play the same game, you can like interact more without actually having to drive to each other's houses. Where especially in like 8th grade, you can't really drive yet, so you get to hang out more but not actually need to make that connection.
Right. So how many good friends would you say you've made maybe through this sport? Maybe ones that you've never even met face-to-face.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to manage, like, to put a number on it exactly, but I would say I have like a close circle of friends within my like team that I've gotten to know really well and that I hang out with on a weekly basis. And I recently went to Las Vegas for the championship, like the live championships of Rocket League. And a few of my friends did too, and we met up in person, and that was really cool to meet them. So.
And that was your first time meeting them in person?
That was.
Were they the people that you thought they would get? They were going to be, or was it? Were there any big surprises?
I recognized their faces immediately. I mean, not their faces, their voices.
Right.
But it was a little bit of a surprise, but one that you kind of expected because you had never seen them before. So,
what was the age range of people that are participating?
Well, you had like my younger brother, Felix, who's 14. He's 14. And compared to, there were some like 30-year-old people, okay. I would say is generally the range you'll find. So
what other positive skills do you think you've gained from gaming?
Communication, I would say. especially more recently working with the Boise State coach, is he definitely stresses like what you need to communicate and how to do that in a quick manner, which is nice. Teamwork, I would say, was a big one that I learned. And there's definitely more, but
I put you on the spot, right? Yeah. So what about citizenship within these communities? I'm sure that there are, just like in life, there are people that maybe start interacting in negative ways or doing things that are inappropriate when you're in these communities. How is that handled? Who is that, sort of policing that?
It varies from community to community. And again, not every gamer is a part of like a set community, but it's definitely something that exists. And there's this kind of stigma around toxic players, as they're known. And those are people who generally say mean things and are just generally negative.
Mm-hmm.
And they are frowned upon. It exists a lot because a lot of gamers have like anger issues and they'll say things. And I will point out that there's a lot of toxic communities out there or where it's not... There's not a lot of toxic people, but it's easy for one toxic person to make an impact, mm-hmm. rather than all the normal people. So you will see mean people. And the way they react with that, the one that I'm in, they have like almost a zero tolerance policy where they will give people warnings and they will kick people out pretty immediately if they're found being overly negative.
But it probably, there's probably just different cultures within different sports, right?
Yeah. And you'll find online that you can't avoid it because you can't kick people off. It's because you'll just match with people and you can only do so much to avoid them. And so a lot of it comes down to your attitude and how you can deal with them.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that's another learning about just being human and interacting with different sorts of people. But we're talking about different cultures among different games, and I'm going to move into a little bit of the downsides. Have you ever been one that liked the more sort of violent video games with the first-person shooter games? And, you know, there's a lot of talk about, is there a correlation to violence in real life and people who play those games? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I'm not personally a first-person shooter player, but I have played other violent games like Grand Theft Auto. I played a lot of, and other games. And I think it's a weird line to cross because the two arguments are that it brings out the violence in people, and the other argument is that it's already there. Like if you are becoming like a school shooter because of a game, then you were crazy to begin with, and it wasn't really the game that brought that out of you. And I think in reality, it's somewhere in the middle, where they do have these violent tendencies and maybe that reacts as a catalyst for some people, but then with other people it has no impact. Like, I've never seen something violent and been like...
wanting to be violent, to right.
Yeah. It's just more of a... I can definitely separate the fake from the real.
Right.
And a lot of... I guess some people are unable, so...
And, you know, we don't know all these answers, right? We're just kind of making...
It's heavily debated.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, do you think that kids should be allowed to play violent video games?
I think it depends on the kid, definitely. There are some kids, if they have maybe violent tendencies, some think... For some kids, it may be helpful for them to get them out in a fake world where it doesn't hurt anybody. But then others, it may just... make them realize they like this. So there's definitely like a level of maturity they have to hit before they should be able to play these violent games.
And maybe certain kids that are playing them need to have some adult guidance and conversation around that, especially if they're kids who seem really angry or maybe, interesting. I think the whole, I mean, this is kind of new and experimental as a species, right? These are new things that didn't exist.
And One resource for parents I can recommend is there's a website called Common Sense Media.
Okay.
And one thing you can do is you can look up a movie or a video game, or I think even books at this point, and it'll tell you like explicitly what violence and what like nudity or
right what things to look out for,
what like bad words they say mm-hmm. in the game, and so that as a parent you can be more discriminative of like what you want your kid to be playing.
That's really good information, and I've mm-hmm. heard of that, but I never thought about that website for games. So I will link that in the podcast notes for today's show. So that's a good resource. Thank yeah. you. So what are some of the other downsides, do you think?
I would say it can take up a lot of your time without you realizing it. And that one is very obvious, but you can kind of get absorbed in these fake worlds and stop caring as much about the real one. I think it takes a level of, it's hard to put this, but you can definitely sink way too much of your time into a video game when you should really just be experiencing the real world. Like,
so do you find yourself during certain time periods where you kind of have a reality check and you go, whoa, I've been in this too long. I need to get myself out of this world and go interact mm-hmm. with real people in real life. Do you have, what are your personal strategies when you become aware of that?
It's hard to like put a number on it. Like, oh, I've been playing for this many hours, which means I need to stop because circumstances change like from day to day. And so one thing that I've found makes it easier is rather than setting a limit on how much game time I get, instead making like a list of things I want to do today in the real world, and then just organizing my time and game around that.
That's a great piece of advice. Don't you think other kids could benefit from that, or parents as a strategy, mm-hmm. rather than saying I'm going to restrict or set this limit, it's a little more positive of like, okay, what do you want to accomplish today in the real world?
Right.
And then you make sure that list gets done, yeah. but you still get your gaming time.
Exactly. So
do you think it's addicting?
I would say definitely yes.
Okay.
I know my dad has had trouble with addiction for some of his games. I know I have had, I don't like to admit it, but it's definitely like an addiction in that when I was grinding up the ranks of Rocket League, I definitely just wanted to keep getting better and better and better and keep playing. And it's hard to like break yourself away from that and convince yourself it's not really that important. And I mean, still, I would say I have a problem with that because I want to hit a certain level to be competitive at the university. But
that's biology, though, some of it, yeah. because it activates the reward center in your brain. Mm-hmm. They're created to do that, right? So it's kind yeah. of your brain can be in a compulsion loop, and because you're getting little dopamine hits.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that can be with all kinds of games, even, you know, old school games that you play that aren't even electronic, right?
Yeah.
This can happen because your brain's like, I want Rubik's Cubes. Okay, people wanted to keep right. trying to solve those.
And I would even go as far to say, as there's like in some games, there's like a positive addiction, kind of like where I am at Rocket League, where I just want to become better at the game because that's rewarding to me rather than they're giving me some real reward. But then there's definitely like a negative addiction you can get to where you're not having fun and you're just doing it to like get to the next level and you're not actually enjoying yourself, which you kind of eventually have to do a reality check and just say, I don't really care about this. I don't know why I'm doing this.
Well, and at that point, it maybe starts interfering with relationships, with school, with mm-hmm. different things. And that's probably
yeah.
a symptom that things are out of balance, right?
Right. Yeah.
I still love this idea of this list, kind of a daily, like, what do I want to do in the real world list? I just think that's great. I'm going to keep going back to that.
Okay.
But that's you have a level of maturity and awareness. Do you think that all gamers have that same level of awareness?
Definitely not. I would say it took me a long time to get to this point where I was getting things done. And it's really easy to say, yeah, I have an essay due in 3 days, but like my friends want me to play some Rocket League with them because they're on right now. And it's very difficult to just be to like say no to that.
Right.
To a point. So.
So in your online groups or in, you know, as being a part of a team at a university, mm-hmm. is the addictive aspect of this ever addressed? And is there, you know, help for people who really can't get out of it? Have you ever heard of any help that's being offered through any of the communities you belong to?
I wouldn't say like explicitly there's like a, like people are saying, and if this happens, you should do this. It's more of like there'll be people within the community who you'll see like tweets from them, and they'll be kind of negative and hard on themselves. And at that point, a lot of people will like give the advice of like, just take a break, because that's oftentimes what you just need, is you just need to shut it down for a few days and do other things.
Well, and I think it just that level of awareness on so many levels, like, okay, I've been sitting a long time, I need to move my body. Because mm-hmm. while it's a sport, it's not, you're not breaking a sweat doing it probably, right?
No,
or
no.
getting your heart rate up. And so it's probably another thing for parents and kids to be aware of, just be in tune with your body and say, you know what, I haven't moved. I haven't gone outside,
yeah.
right? Do you catch yourself doing that sometimes?
Mm-hmm. And it's, I think it could be hard without someone else there to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I do is I have a standing desk, which is nice because a lot of times you'll just be sitting there and you'll be tired, and so you can just get up.
Right.
And I found that most helpful, just because when your free time and your homework is like the same place and you're doing almost the same thing, it's hard to like just get up sometimes. So.
Well, and even people in the work world who have computer-based jobs have these standing desks, because right. I think I even read an article not that long ago that said, you know, sitting is the new smoking in terms of health impact.
Yeah.
And so that's also another really, really good tip. So you feel like, I think I'm hearing you say that as you've gotten older, you've been able to self-regulate and balance this in better ways than you did when you were younger.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. Do you wish that there had been more guidance or information on how to do this when you were younger, or was it okay to just learn it the hard way?
It's hard because I know my parents definitely were people who were like, oh, you can't have this much. Like, you should get off now because you've had this so and so much. And while I think that was helpful as a kid to recognize that I've been on that, I need to go do my own thing, it's also good for me to figure that out on my own. But I would say you can only really do that once you get to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have to be at the point where you recognize that that's important.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And like anything, once again, knowing that if this is affecting relationships or your health or your school performance, that's when it needs to be put back in check, kind
mm-hmm.
of that.
You definitely need like a priority list.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it's easy to put the games high, but in reality, you have to put them a lot lower than you really want to.
Do you feel like you're at a point now where you're fairly balanced in your life with the gaming?
I would like to think so, yeah. I try to, since I play so competitively, it's hard to like completely cut myself off.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been trying to introduce new things and just giving myself like an allowance of time in a day. So I'll practice for like an hour and a half or 2 hours. And a lot of times I do that at night where I'm like no one's trying to hang out or make any social connections. So that's nice, and being able to like structure your day like that.
And once again, I think that's comes with maturity and awareness, because I think there are probably people who can be absorbed in any kind of screen when there's people there and they're forgetting the people that are there. So that's one perk of getting a little older, huh, Oscar?
Yeah. And I mean, on top of that, one thing is phones, is it also goes to there, is because
absolutely.
While you may not be like on your computer gaming, you're still just like, it's really easy to like grab that phone and just put in the headphones and then completely isolate yourself, even when you're like, I'm out of my room,
mm-hmm.
so I'm doing something different, but in reality you're doing the exact same thing.
This is a big issue in our culture right now.
Yeah.
So has gaming caused tension between you and your parents at some points in your life?
I would say like a soft yes.
A soft yes?
Yeah, because there's definitely they definitely want me to like spend time with them and like take the headphones off, kind of. The headphones is often, I often use it as like a metaphor for just closing yourself off from everything
mm-hmm.
else that's going on. So there's definitely like a point where you got to take them off. And that was a point of contention and is a point of contention with my parents and my younger brother right now. But at the same time, they've also really supported me in like the competitive aspect, especially once they kind of understood. And I kind of explained some of it to them, which is hard a lot of times for them to understand, but they've done a really good job.
Right, because this didn't exist.
Exactly.
That
it's
long
completely
ago.
New.
It's completely
so.
New. So do you think you're at a point in your development and maturity level where you can understand where some of parents' fears surrounding gaming come from?
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Like, the gaming community is always kind of on the defensive. But in being on the defensive, you see all the arguments they're making, but then you also have to come up with the counter arguments, which means like you kind of have to understand what's going on yourself. So
right. So what advice would you give to parents who, let's say, have a 12-year-old boy, a preteen boy that's really starting to get into gaming? What advice would you give to parents to help set that kid up to be more balanced, but also to not allow the gaming to become a power struggle and a and something that harms the relationship?
One thing I would, my number one point of advice would be to like understand what they're doing. So if they're playing like a game, is like maybe play it with them or watch them play it and have them explain it to you. And while it might be like horrendously dull for you because you don't understand it and you don't like it, if you can kind of try to grab that understanding, it makes it a lot easier for them to say, for like them to hear you say, maybe it's time to get off, because they know that you kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think you're speaking from experience. I know from talking to your family that both of your parents have tried to understand and join you at times, right?
And it helped, like, when they, like, because it's one thing to say, like, when the parent tells the kid to get off and the kid says, I need 5 more minutes, like, that's one level of communication. But when you go, like, the level deeper where the parent is like, hey, we need to eat dinner, and then the kid is like, okay, but, like, my friends are here and they were hoping to play, like, 2 more games.
And by here, you mean virtually here.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because, I mean, not everyone's time schedules line up, so sometimes you got to take advantage of that. But when you, like, kind of understand what the kids are doing and the kids understand what the parents are doing, it makes it easier to not.
Yeah, because you bring up something interesting. You said you have a lot of friends on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And the time zones are different. And so it's your dinner time, but it's almost maybe their bedtime. So can you just finish? Because you're not going to be able to reconnect after your dinner.
Right.
So parents understanding that, that's a great point.
And that's, I mean, one of the things I've learned is how to translate the time zones.
Because
a lot of like the conversations are... Now, the tournaments and everything will be in the East Coast time zone.
Right.
And so you have to figure out how to convert between all these different time zones and how to manage your time such.
And maybe not just East Coast. You're probably playing with some international people too, right?
There are definitely European players. Mm-hmm. Like my brother was on a team with a person from Turkey in the Amsterdam.
Ah.
Or Turkey and Netherlands.
We're getting into cultural exchange benefits here.
But so like Felix, on the weekends, he would be playing at noon. Because it would be his friends, like
evening.
And
right.
So that was the only time they could really connect. But they're good friends, and it's cool.
I love that. See, so there's another, you know, going back to the social aspects of it. So I like the advice that you had for parents, you know, really understand and join, even if it's dull, but join you in your world and really try to get an understanding because it is important to you.
Yeah. And we love talking about it.
And you love talking about it. Okay. So let's end with, what advice would you give to kids who are younger than you, because you know you're an adult now and you've moved on and you're in college. So what advice would you give to that, you know, 11 or 12 year old boy who's just getting into this world?
Or girl. If I had to say one thing, it would be kind of to take a greater, like, longer perspective of it all. This game might be really fun to play this, like, right now, but in a few years, what is it really going to be giving to you? And just to recognize that and make sure you know that when you're making your priorities.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
Good advice. Well, Oscar, thank you so much for taking the time to talk today, and hopefully it helps, alleviate some fear and helps people see some of the positive sides, but also hopefully listeners will take away some bits of advice that will sort of help counteract some of the things that we identified as the downsides to it too.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I wanted to watch you play, how would I find you?
So I play on the league I play on is right now it's called the Minor League Doubles, but it is going through a time of change. We had some people leave and take their brands with them. So we're trying to figure out where to take that. But my name, I go by Ace Pocket or Pockets, and I play Rocket League. So
okay, so for fun, maybe we can link that in the podcast notes too, so maybe you can get me that information afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, Oscar, thank you so much. You have just grown to be a remarkable young man, and it was really fun getting to learn more about your world. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Teen Connectivity with me, Vashti Somerville. parent coach and educator. For more information on programs that I offer or to work with me, please visit www.vsparentcoach.com.